The final game of the Major League Baseball divisional round will be tonight as the Washington Nationals and Los Angeles Dodgers conclude their NLDS. Winner of this series plays the Cubs in the National League Championship Series. So we're very close to the CS round beginning. It starts tomorrow with the ALCS. What a time to be a baseball fan, and what a time to welcome in our Major League Baseball insider, Dan Shulman, brought to you by SML Entertainment, specializing in pool tables and hot tubs since 1956. With 5 Alberta locations, go to smlentertainment.com for details. And Dan joins us on the program right now from ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, ESPN Radio, and Sportsnet Blue Jays Baseball. Dan, appreciate you doing this. Game 5, NLDS tonight. How does this set up for you?
Well, you know, on paper, the obvious thing is Max Scherzer is going for the Washington Nationals, and he's a Cy Young caliber pitcher. Now, he has not done great in these kinds of games in his career, and he didn't actually have a great game in game 1 of the series against the Dodgers. But, you know, I think on paper, you've got to give the Nationals the advantage. But, you know, as we all know, crazy things happen in baseball, and crazy things happen in October. The Dodgers are just going to try to piece it together from Rich Hill to Julio Urias, and then, you know, get it into their late inning relievers and hope for the best. And in these kinds of games, it can come down to one moment. You know, if one guy pops one with a couple of men on base, that can be your season right there. So, you know, Nationals with an advantage, but I certainly don't think this is going to be a day at the beach for them.
Yeah, and you talk about Max Scherzer and not always being able to have his best games in situations like this. And yet, if you're the Nationals knowing that, there's not a better choice than to have that guy going in a deciding game, right?
There's not a better choice. This is the guy that everybody wants on the mound, regardless of what he's done in the past. I mean, you know, the major league leader in strikeouts and a guy who won 20 games this year and a guy who on any given day has the potential to throw a no-hitter, as he's done a couple of days already as a big leaguer. He's had some good starts in the playoffs, just not consistently having good starts in the playoffs. He was okay in game 1. He just wasn't great, but this is the guy you want. The thing with Scherzer is, you know, he can really get amped up. He's got a lot of energy, and sometimes he channels it positively, and it's Mad Max, and look out, he's got 12 strikeouts through 5. But, you know, it's a fine line. Sometimes you can get a little bit overamped, as Aaron Sanchez admitted he was in his start against Texas in the division series. I think it's going to be a really good Scherzer. I don't think there are going to be many runs scored tonight. I think he's going to bring his A game.
I'm curious about this on the Dodgers side of things, because LA is kind of now, over the last five, six years even longer, kind of developed that reputation of a team that can't get over the hump, high payroll, so much potential. Last 2 years, they go out in the divisional round, and they haven't been able to get past an NLCS in a long, long time. Is that in their minds? Is there a danger of that creeping into their mindset if things go wrong early in this game?
I don't think it creeps into the players' minds. I think it creeps into the fans' minds more than anything. I mean, one of the problems the Dodgers have had is they're always piecing together their rotation for as much money as they've spent, whether it's injuries or poor planning or whatever the case may be. They had 14 different guys start a game for them this year, which is crazy. And, you know, right now, if you look at their rotation, I mean, so many guys they were counting on, Anderson, Kazmir, McCarthy, Ryu, hurt. They're all gone. So I think one of the problems for them has been they always seem to need to go to Clayton Kershaw on short rest in a playoff series, which is not the ideal situation. And some people thought they should have held him back, hoped they could win game 4 and then hold him back to go up against Scherzer in game 5. But I don't think, you know, maybe if they were to lose tonight and they break it down and they say, you know, yeah, we couldn't get out of that round again. But to be honest with you, with all the injuries they had this year, I actually think they had a pretty good season. I don't think they underachieved. If anything, I think they might have overachieved just slightly. You know, we focus on the names and the payroll, but when you look at the talent and the injuries, I think they've done decently well to get as far as they have.
Dan Shulman's with us. He's our Major League Baseball insider, joining us on the big show this afternoon. Winner of this game tonight advances to take on the Chicago Cubs, where the Cubs will be favored regardless of who they play. You saw all 4 games Chicago played in their divisional series against the San Francisco Giants. Just your impression of Chicago as they move on to the NLCS.
They're the best team out there. Doesn't mean they're going to win. You know, if the Giants had held on to that lead in the 9th inning of game 4, imagine what the scene would have been like at Wrigley tonight.
Yep.
Imagine the anxiety that the Cubs fans would have had with their team facing Johnny Cueto, probably Madison Bumgarner out of the bullpen, where a loss could knock them out. It would have been quite a scene. Wasn't meant to be. Cubs had a great comeback. They're a terrific team, and I think the best thing about them is something that's not talked about enough. You know, we know they've got some great starting pitchers. We know they've got Chapman in a deep bullpen. We know they can swing the bats. But I think the best thing about them is how athletic and versatile and adaptable they are, where Bryant can move around, Zobrist can move around, Baez can move around, Contreras can move around. You know, Joe Maddon can pinch hit for Addison Russell, who drove in 95 runs this year, burn a guy in Chris Coughlin just to force Bruce Bochy to go to the lefty. Then he brings in Wilson Contreras, who comes up with a big two-run single, and Contreras can stay in the game and play left field because he's good and athletic enough to do it, and he did it during the season. Their versatility, to me, more than anything else, is what separates them from other teams.
You know, Dan, in hockey, when we're breaking down a playoff series or breaking down a playoff run, a lot of times you talk about how important that holy crap moment is for a team and how it might be able to galvanize him and push him forward. And I think you can find a lot of them in an NHL postseason. I wonder if that game four was that for Chicago, in that, you know, they had a lead, the Giants come back, and then all of a sudden more adversity. And, you know, that specter of the game five you just described was right there. I wonder if that can be a galvanizing point for this group.
I think it's possible. I think sometimes when a team goes on a run, we look for that galvanizing moment, and sometimes there is a moment that we think is going to galvanize a team, and it doesn't happen, but we're not in that mindset, so we don't think along those lines. But I think it's possible. Like a lot of times, you know, thinking of my winter life in the NCAA tournament, a lot of times the team that goes on to win, if you look back, they have their toughest game, if not in the round of 64, maybe in the round of 32. You know, they win on a buzzer beater or they win in overtime, and then they get better and better and better through the course of the tournament against stronger competition. So, yeah, I think there's something to it, not all the time, but something to it, that if you dodge a bullet early, that it can really lock you in and help you get stronger as time goes on. And I think they know that. And I don't want to say that they dodged a bullet. I think they know, though, that had they lost that game a couple of nights ago, they would have been in for the fight of their lives tonight. I mean, it would not have been easy for the Cubs to beat the Giants. And now they get a few days' rest, which is probably a good thing for them. And if they get the Dodgers, they won't see Kershaw till game two. If they get the Nationals, they won't see Scherzer till game three. Cubs are rested. And, you know, listen, somebody's going to have to play great baseball to beat the Cubs this year.
He is Dan Shulman, our Major League Baseball insider, joining us this afternoon on the program. Let's switch gears to the American League as the ALCS starts tomorrow between Toronto and Cleveland. But before we look ahead to that, we talked to you last week prior to the Blue Jays moving on. A three-game sweep over the best team statistically, record-wise, in the American League, and the Blue Jays have their struggles in September. How surprised were you to see the Jays make quick work of the Rangers?
Very. I think I was like everybody else who follows the Blue Jays, whether you follow them as a fan or just an observer, whatever the case may be. You know, you see the first game, and then you see the inning in the second game where they hit three home runs, and I'm sure every person in Canada who was watching said, where have these guys been all year? I mean, this looked like the 2015 Blue Jays. So I didn't see it coming. I thought if they could get a split in Texas, they were in really good shape, because the 3-4 starters for the Rangers were not as good as the 3-4 starters for the Blue Jays. That, to me, is the biggest advantage the Blue Jays will have in every series, except possibly the Cubs, if they get to the World Series and the Cubs are there. So, you know, they get the first game, and you're saying, okay, you know, mission accomplished. Then they go out and start smacking home runs in the second game, and I was very surprised. So, they had to hang on a couple of times. It got dicey a couple of times, but I give them a lot of credit. The clutch hit that had been so elusive for them for so much of the season, they came up with that. The home run ball came back. Roberto Osuna was great. What can you say about a guy, whatever's going on in his arm, what can you say about the job that he did? Marco Estrada in game one was magnificent. I mean, absolutely great, and he deserves the game one start in the ALCS. I was surprised. I thought they had a chance to win the series. Never did I think they would sweep.
Well, and we find out what the rotation's going to be for the ALCS today. Estrada, we knew for game one, then J-Hap, Marcus Stroman, Aaron Sanchez for the next three games. I don't know if we're overly surprised by that, but just your reaction to the first four starters for the Blue Jays.
Well, I think Estrada one makes sense. John Gibbons talked about it. Remember when they went to the six-man rotation, Estrada was the one guy whose numbers dropped off when they did that. Now, whether that's cause and effect or not, who knows? But I don't think they want Estrada to sit for too long, so stick him back out there in game one. Happ is a natural for game two. I think in 3-4, I think it basically, and I'm sure you guys have talked about it already, I think it just comes down to the innings thing for Aaron Sanchez. And this is complicated. You know, they're trying to keep a kid healthy so he can help them win a World Series in the future when they have a chance to win a World Series now. But
yeah.
they don't want him to get hurt. And I respect that. And I don't think any of us can say they're wrong. I think if you put them in game three, I don't think you could say they're wrong. Nobody knows what the chances are of him getting hurt. He may be healthier than the other three guys of the rotation. Nobody knows what's going on in the tendons and ligaments inside his body. So I think I would have loved to have seen them go 3-7 because the chances of going seven aren't that great. But if you do go seven, don't you want your best guy on the mound? But I respect the fact that they're trying to keep him healthy. And again, the luxury the Blue Jays have is they've got four guys that they can really count on. They've got four guys they can send out to the mound and on any given day feel like they can help them win a ball game. And that's a luxury, really.
So what options would they then have for Sanchez in a game six, a game seven scenario? Does he become a bullpen option for them?
I don't think so. I really don't think they want to do that. To me, that's almost more of a risk of injury than just starting him because, you know, it's a different routine. Now he's got to get up and get going in a hurry. I mean, I guess it's possible that he could work an inning or two in game seven, but I don't think they want to do that. It's, you know, a thousand things can happen in a playoff series between now and then. I mean, whoever would have thought, remember Randy Johnson starts game six, whatever year it was, 2001, it must have been, Curt Schilling starts
01.
Game 7, and Randy Johnson comes out of the bullpen the next day, like no off day, and he pitches, after he goes 8 innings in Game 6, he comes out and pitches. You know, weird stuff will happen in playoff games. Whoever could have predicted that David Price would pitch in relief and R.A. Dickey would start a game, and whatever the case was, as Toronto went through it with Texas last year. So, you know, a lot of things can happen. Rain can delay a series, push back a game a day. That can change things, but I don't think they want to use Sanchez out of the pen if they can help it.
Here's a Cleveland Indians team that was so strong from start to finish throughout the regular season. How do the Jays match up with their ALCS opponent?
Better starting pitching, not as good a bullpen in my mind, although the potential to have as good a bullpen, but if I had to pick, I'd pick Cleveland. And offensively, the Indians are extremely underrated. The Indians were second in the American League in runs scored this year. Only the Red Sox scored more runs. And, you know, some of the names may not jump off the box score at you, whether it's Jose Ramirez or Tyler Naquin or Lonnie Chisenhall. But these guys can hit, and they grind out at bats. I think the biggest advantage any team has is the Blue Jays in the rotation. I mean, the number two and number three starters for the Indians are out, Carrasco and Salazar. You know, imagine if you took Happ and Estrada out of the Blue Jays rotation, what it would look like. So I think game one is a virtual must for the Indians. They got to win the Kluber games. You know, again, anything can happen. It's crazy. But the Blue Jays have a major advantage, I think, in the starting pitcher in 2, 3, and 4. Game 4 is basically going to be a bullpen game for the Indians. They might start Mike Clevinger, but he's not going to go more than 3 or 4 innings, I don't think. But one thing that Cleveland has that nobody else has is Andrew Miller. This guy is the biggest weapon out of the bullpen anywhere in baseball, better than Chapman, better than anybody else, because he can close a game or he could come in the fifth and pitch 3 innings and throw 60 pitches and wipe everybody out, and then he can come back and pitch again the next day. He's, in my mind, he is absolutely the best relief pitcher in baseball.
Final thought for you, and you touched on it a little bit there, but give us some names that, you know, might become household to us for the Cleveland Indians. Give us a couple of guys that, you know, we might be talking about and saying that damn blank by the end of this series.
Well, Andrew Miller is one of them, as I said. You know, Mike Napoli, who's a real, you know, hardened veteran, he's been around. He hit, I think, 34 home runs or something for the Indians this year. Watch out for him, a big game guy, not a guy who's going to get scared in the moment. And their shortstop, Francisco Lindor, probably not a household name yet, but when you start talking about the great young players in baseball, he's on the list. There's so many good young shortstops, from Carlos Correa to Corey Seager and Addison Russell, and Lindor doesn't take a backseat to any of them. He's spectacular. He can hit, he can run, he can play D. He's got great energy. He's a good leader for a young player. He's terrific. And Jason Kipnis, their second baseman, again, maybe not a household name as much as he should be, but he's been an all-star a couple of times. He's a dangerous bat. These guys believe in themselves. They really, really do. This is not going to be easy for the Blue Jays.
Dan, appreciate this. Enjoy the final game of the National League Division Series, and we're just minutes away or hours away from the start of the American League Championship Series as well. Enjoy that. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
He is Dan Schulman. He's our Major League Baseball insider. He comes courtesy SML Entertainment, specializing in pool tables and hot tubs since 1956 with five Alberta locations. Go to smlentertainment.com for details.